Welcome to our series of podcasts presented by the National Crime Prevention Council and the Office for Victims of Crime as we explore the sensitive subject of abusive and inappropriate peer-to-peer online activity, more commonly referred to as cyberbullying. In this podcast, we turn our attention to the students, the teenagers, and hear what they have to think and say on this topic. So let's get started with our fourth podcast in this series, Cyberbullying, Students Speak Out. We are pleased to have with us three students of varying ages. We have Scott, age 15, here in the studio with us.
Hi.
And calling in, we have Tay, age 17.
Hey.
And Naomi, age 16.
Hi, happy to be here.
So Tay, when you hear the expression cyberbullying, what does it make you think of?
I think of someone or a group of people that just seem to be attacked on the web. It's like an invasion of personal privacy, and not to mention, it's almost as if, like, the internet is their own weapon.
And what about you, Scott? What does cyberbullying make you think of?
Cyberbullying, it makes me feel that the web just isn't a safe place. Because a lot of websites allow you to say things anonymously, and people use these anonymous websites to say cruel, harsh things that they wouldn't say to someone's face. And just people need to understand that what they say on the web is just as hurtful as if they say it to someone's face.
Naomi, what does it make you think of, the expression cyberbullying?
Oh, it makes me think of people like writing mean stuff about others on social medias and just like a rumor that spreads everywhere, like all over the web and stuff.
So Tay, you were saying that people use the internet to be mean. Can you tell us more about what you mean by this?
The web is like a resource for people to actually get on and to actually hurt people. You can use the web in any way, make up websites about someone or post so many mean things about someone to actually emotionally hurt them.
Do you guys think that maybe we're hearing less about cyberbullying right now because people don't know where to turn for help if they are being cyberbullied?
People don't want to say something when they're cyberbullied because they want to seem strong, or they just don't necessarily know who to talk to because they don't want to seem like a snitch or don't want to seem weak. And so, but people need to understand that school advisors are trained and they have the resources and the knowledge to create safe environments.
I think right now it's not happening a lot. In the past few months before, yeah, it has.
Naomi, have you ever been reluctant to report an incident of cyberbullying and didn't but wish you had? And this could include either you personally being victimized or something you witnessed and you felt that it just wasn't right.
I did, but it wasn't me. It was like a friend I knew, and like he was receiving hateful emails. Like he would post something on the web and then someone else would say something mean about it.
And what do you think you could have done or what do you wish you would have done?
I would have told the other person, stop.
Scott, what about you?
Yes, actually, I saw a group of my own friends. They were posting comments on a girl's photo. They had met this girl at a party, and they got into a fight. And anyway, they were saying very mean things to her, and they just didn't understand that though they weren't talking to her face, all the cruel things that they were saying were just as hurtful as if they were talking personally. And I witnessed this, and because I wasn't part of this fight or because of this little riff, I didn't feel that I had the right to get involved. But now that I look back, I really see that I should have contacted one of my friends and just told them that what they were doing was wrong.
Tay, what about you?
I actually admit that I've actually been involved with it. I know from past experience, whenever I would get on a website that I use every day, you're always going to have some type of enemy. And you're always going to have your friends, but it's so easy for that person to have access and to invade your privacy to come at me. And that person got on my side and just attacked me in so many ways with words. And it's so easy to hurt someone with words.
So what did you do in this situation?
I didn't say anything, and I wish I would have. I wish I would have told my dad at least, or told someone from school, because she does go to the same school as me, but what could they do? What could a school really do since it was outside of school? And what could my dad really do?
It's scary, Tay. I mean, you don't know if going after someone is the right thing to do because, I mean, if they're not doing it to your face, they haven't caused you any physical harm and they haven't gotten into your personal space.
So, Tay, you talked a little bit about that you were personally victimized, but you didn't seek help. So do you think teenagers know where to turn for help if they're feeling victimized? Would you turn to your parents for help? And if not, who would you turn to?
I know personally now that I would turn to my dad for help, but to be honest, I don't think a lot of teens do know where to go, because cyberbullying is a new thing.
I think that parents haven't been trained and don't know exactly how to mediate a confrontation between two people who have been involved in cyberbullying, or a cyberbully and a victim. And so I think that students need to understand that there are people working in their school. School advisors really know how to handle these situations and know how to set up meetings between the appropriate parties to get the results that people want to see.
Naomi, do you turn to your parents for help? And if not, who do you turn to?
If I don't turn to my parents, I would turn either to my school counselor or someone at school because I would trust them more. And because there's other stuff that my parents wouldn't understand.
Do you think that other peers in your school know where to turn for help if they are being cyberbullied?
They probably do, but most of them are afraid to.
Why do you feel that teens are afraid to speak up to a victim service provider or their parents if they are feeling cyberbullied?
Because they think probably it's just going to make it worse, or they think they could deal with it, they could handle it.
Often, you know, we kind of feel that our parents don't understand social networking sites because they're not on them, or if they are, they don't understand how to use them that well. So we just feel like they're disconnected from that whole cyber world.
So let's discuss some tips for dealing with inappropriate online communications. And perhaps we can start with some early stage and preventative measures. Naomi, what can you do if you are being cyberbullied, and are there ways to prevent it?
If you are being cyberbullied, you could either tell someone that you trust so they could help you, and you could prevent it by not exposing your stuff out there.
Tay, are there ways to prevent it?
Well, I know for sure that you do have a right to have privacy on the site that you're at. You could block this person who's ever attacking you or a group of people, or you could just not even get on the site and find another site that you could use to contact your friends and your family.
In chat rooms, one can try not to share personal information such as screen names or phone numbers or email addresses. Also, one does have the opportunity to change a screen name or change a name on a site, and you're not running away from a situation rather than just keeping safe and keeping out of being harmed physically or emotionally.
What about if you received a hurtful email or something hurtful, an instant message? What could you do with something like that?
You could save it so then you can report it, or you can just delete it and talk to your friends and family, but I'm saying you can let go of it.
Yeah, kids need to understand that if they retaliate with other harmful messages back, it could cause a fight to escalate, and it's better just to keep a cool head about it and turn to help.
Tay, you shared some really great advice on how to deal with cyberbullying. Is there anything else that you would like to add?
I would just say be really cautious when you do have a social media site. Make sure that you do know what you're getting yourself into and that you keep your privacy, and yet if any cyberbullying would to happen, that you would know who to access, who to call, and try to be level-headed throughout the whole thing.
Naomi, can you talk a little bit about what your school is doing to address cyberbullying? Is there more that you think can be done?
Well, my school has, some program that does, deal with cyberbullying, and I think we could probably maybe address it more by going into advisory classrooms and talking about it, maybe.
Can you tell us a little bit about the program your school has?
It's, a program where, you call the hotline if you want, and if you have a problem with it, with either cyberbullying or something, you call and you tell them, they could advise you what to do, either report it. And I've seen posters around, but I haven't, really got involved in it.
And Scott, what more would you like to see happen in your school?
Well, I just wish teachers told kids that it's okay to come out and talk to teachers and talk to advisors about their problems and about being bullied, because it's easy for things to fall out of control, and people always need help. And they need to feel that getting help isn't showing weakness.
So, Tay, is there more that can be done?
It would be awesome if we could get, assemblies going, and maybe at lunch, have people, sit with different people, and try to interact more with each other and learn more about each other's, you know, not personal life, but background, so we get to know each other more.
So tell me, guys, how do you think cyberbullying differs between guys and girls?
Well, I think for girls, I'm going to say this personally, I think girls are vicious, and we can be very jealous at times. And I know personally, from my experience, that when I'm on sites and I see attacks like that, I see it from a girl's standpoint as someone being jealous of someone.
How do you feel about the difference, Scott?
Well, I think guys diss each other all the time, but when it comes to cyberbullying with boys, they really focus on each other's abilities when it comes to sports or how they act in school or how they are with the ladies.
I'd really like to thank all of our guests.
Thanks for having me.
Tay, we'd really like to thank you for taking the time to speak with us today.
I had a great time.
And Scott, thank you also for coming down here to talk to us about cyberbullying.
No, thank you. I'm really happy to be part of this.
I believe we have a general consensus here. Whether you're a former victim or once acted like an online bully, I think everyone agrees. These heartfelt comments point to a rather positive confirmation that cyberbullying is harmful and unnecessary, and it's better to be enlightened and educated and know that there are professional adults, victim service providers, who you can turn to and who are on your side. Before we sign off, we would like to recommend a wonderful book from our Circle of Respect book club. Today's featured book is by teen author Rachel Simmons, and its title is Odd Girl Out. That's Odd Girl Out by Rachel Simmons. For additional information on the Circle of Respect book club, please visit our website often at www.ncpc.org, as we provide updated information and present new books on a regular basis. As always, we would like to close with this thought. A victim service provider's best ally is a concerned parent, a parent who is able to have a frank and meaningful discussion with his or her child. Thank you for joining us. This podcast is presented by the National Crime Prevention Council and the Office for Victims of Crime and was supported by grant number 2009-VFGX-K003, awarded by the Office for Victims of Crime, Office of Justice Programs, U.S. Department of Justice. The opinions, findings, and conclusions or recommendations expressed in this product are those of the contributors and do not necessarily represent the official position or policies of the U.S. Department of Justice.